Might we turn together to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, the 18th chapter of the Gospel by Luke. Commencing to read at verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the highway side begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight, and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, dear friends, we have in these two passages two men brought before us, two men who met Jesus, two men who were in earnest. One was a poor man, the other was a rich man. Oh, how wonderful tonight that Christ can save the rich, and Christ can save the poor. Christ can save the self-righteous sinner, and Christ can save the vilest sinner on earth. All-powerful Savior, able to save to the uttermost, able to save you, my friend. Now I know that we live in a very careless age, as our brother pointed out this afternoon. And men are indifferent. Men don't believe the Bible. Men don't believe what God says is true at all. Why, men say to us, thank you, we believe the Bible, but they don't. They don't believe the Bible. If they were to believe this book, they'd be saved. You know, God tells us in this book, he paints a very, very black picture of man. And he tells us that man is going down. Now, as our brother said this afternoon, I amen what he said. We're taught that we're going up. But no, God says we're going down. And my friend, man is a sinner. And the Word of God declares faithfully in this precious book that there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as we stand here tonight, we are conscious of the fact that there is a devil. Oh, men laugh. The modernist preacher scoffs at that. But there is a devil. And we know as we stand here that his demons are busy going to these boys and girls, young people who have Christian fathers and mothers who've long been the object of their prayers and their tears. And we know that devil is saying, and those demons are saying, do not believe. Do not believe this man. Do not believe this story. But, oh, my friend, tonight we pray God will be in earnest over your poor soul. What a solemn thing it is to think of eternity, to think that you and I are heading on for God's eternity, and we have to stand in the presence of God. And we're sinners. We're sinners, my friend, either saved sinners on the way to heaven or lost sinners on the way to hell. Now the time rushes on. We've been sitting here for the last 20 minutes or so, and every one of us in this room, every man, every woman and boy and girl is either near to heaven or hell. I ask everybody, I ask my own soul, what about you? Are you on the way to heaven, you boys and girls, you men and women, young people, young ladies, young men? Are you on the way to heaven? If you're not, you're on the way to hell. There's no purgatory. There's no third place. It's heaven with Christ or hell without Christ for all eternity. And we must settle the question here and now in this world where we will spend that eternity. For man will live on. And 1,000,000 years from tonight, my friends, yea, 1,000,000,000 years from tonight, you and I will be existing. Thank God, by His wondrous grace, I know that I shall be with Christ, my precious Savior, who loved me and died for me on the cross of Calvary. I wonder tonight if you found out that you're a sinner, that you're a lost sinner, boys and girls. You have a Christian home. You have this book in every bedroom. Your living room, your dining room, your kitchen probably has a Bible in it and hymn books. But that will never save your soul. Your father breaks bread. Your mother breaks bread. But I ask you, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you received Christ? Does Christ live in your heart tonight? If not, my friend, you're lost. You're just as bad as the man in the jail. Just as bad in the same condition as the man that's a drunkard down in the gutter, the cursor, the blasphemer. Without Christ, my friend, you're lost. And I solemnly warn you tonight that you must have to do with Jesus. Your eyes will look into the very face of Jesus. You will see Him either as your judge or as your Savior. Oh, how solemn. Well, these men, I like to think of these two men. They were in earnest. Oh, my friends, some of us have the privilege of preaching the gospel. Many in this room have preached the gospel. Do you ever see earnest people today? Do you ever see a man and a woman who is in earnest? No, my friends, they have no time to be in earnest. The world is crazy tonight. And everything is a joke in the world. Everything is turned into a joke or a pun. They're so used to hearing these kind of things through the air in their homes that the whole of life is a joke, an adventure. And how solemn and how good it is to meet a man or woman who's in earnest about eternity, about their soul, about salvation. Well, these two men were in earnest. I want to point out to you in these two incidents about these two men that it says that Jesus was come nigh unto Jericho. Now in the Bible, Jericho is a picture of this world. Isn't that wonderful? In the next chapter it starts, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I like to think of all those stars. I read about them. You read about them. They tell us they're all other kinds of worlds. Well, I don't know about that. But I know that this is a world. I know that poor sinners are in this world. I know that Jesus came to this world. Oh, my friend, how wonderful. This is a faithful saint and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. Oh, are you a sinner tonight? Then Christ Jesus came into this world to save you. You say, well, if you're not a sinner, He didn't come to save you, because He came to save sinners. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Why didn't He come to save the righteous? Because God says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Just imagine, God can look down over this great world tonight, and humanly speaking, without Christ, there's not a righteous man in the whole world. We who have that righteousness who is Christ Himself, thank God He's declared us righteous. But my friends, God could not find a righteous man in this world if it was not for the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. There's none good, God says. Just imagine. There is none good. No, not one. Just imagine. Not even one. God can look through the whole world and say, there is none good. No, not one. Not even one. My dear sinner friend tonight, what about you? Now let us ask ourselves this question. We like to ask this question because I believe it searches the heart. I remember before I was saved, these things disturbed me. Oh, did they disturb you? We've come to the end of this age. Very, very soon the shout will be heard, and our Lord Jesus Christ will rise up and shut the door and call away out of this world every blood-bought child of God. But I want to ask you tonight, if you were dead now, supposing you had died this afternoon, you know there's none too young. These boys here, maybe only 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you could have died this afternoon, but God let you live to hear the gospel tonight. I want to ask you, if you had died, where would you be now? Where would you be now? What a solemn thing, my friend. Think if you had died unsaved. Think if you had gone out of this world into eternity without Christ, and now you were a corpse, and your body was laying in an undertaking parlor, you were in eternity. Where would you be? Girls and boys and men and women, I ask you to answer the question, where would you be? Would you be with Christ? Could you say, I would have seen my Savior's lovely face? Now I would have been in the glory land. Or would you have to say, I would be lost for eternity? My friend, I solemnly warn you, eternal ages your soul has to face. Jesus came to this world. He entered this world. He came down into this world, and he knew before he came how this world would treat him. Yet he left the glory seen above, and he became a man. Just imagine, he became a man. The eternal Son of God in manhood came into this world, born as a babe in the manger of Bethlehem, the rejected Son of God. The rejected Son of Man, cast out and crucified by this world. Jesus came to this world. Isn't that wonderful? Can you say, thank God, Jesus came to save my soul. He came for me. Well, as he came here near Jericho, it tells us in his 35th verse, a certain blind man sat by the highway side begging. Now I believe here we have a hopeless man. This man was hopeless. Can you think of anything worse than to be blind? To lose your precious eyesight. To be a blind man or a blind woman and have to grope your way through darkness. This is really a picture of a man that was hopeless. Maybe there's somebody in this room tonight that says, sir, if you knew my life, as God knows it, you'd say you're hopeless too. No, you're not. Here's the power. The power of the gospel, the power of Christ, able to save. Oh, how wonderful. He's able to save, my friends. You may be a vile sinner. Maybe you're the most vile sinner in Detroit tonight. Maybe your life is black with sin. Or maybe you're a self-righteous hypocrite. Doesn't matter, my friend. Christ is able to save you. I love that verse I quoted. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then the great Apostle Paul adds these words. Not in a boast, but he wrote them under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, of whom I am the chief. Isn't that wonderful? What a comfort. The chief of sinners tonight is in heaven. Oh, I think that's a triumph of the grace of God. I believe the heart of Christ rejoices over that glorious truth. That he has reached down to this world and he has saved the sinner's chief. And the sinner's chief tonight's in the glory with Christ. And there's hope for every sinner under God's heaven tonight. Oh, whether you're a bad sinner or as the world calls a small sinner or a big sinner, God is able to save you tonight through what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. His arms outstretched says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a Savior tonight, a living Savior, as we had this afternoon, a living God up there. He's not a dead God, he's a living God, the living God. He's up there, and he's able to save poor sinners tonight. He's a living Savior. So this man was hopeless, blind, and he was begging. Now, friends, when I read this story, I think of this world tonight. Isn't everybody tonight a beggar? Everybody that doesn't got Christ, after all, is a poor beggar. They're all begging for something. Why, the president of the great banks, he's begging for more money. He's begging to get more money, more wealth. He's not satisfied with his $10 million. He wants $20 million. He's a beggar. And the young man in this world is going into its pleasures and its amusements. He's trying to satisfy his soul. He's a beggar. And the young girl who comes into the gospel meeting, she's trying to find something to satisfy her aching heart. She's a beggar. This man was a beggar. He was sitting by the highway side begging, and he had this message. What a message. I think this is a gospel message for this man. His name was Bartimaeus. We read in Mark chapter 10, in the 37th verse, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Oh, what words they are. Jesus of Nazareth. What does it mean, Jesus of Nazareth, the despised Nazarene? His name, his lowly name was Jesus, Jehovah the Savior. Jesus of Nazareth. He belonged to Nazareth. He was a Nazarene. And Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Oh, there were good news to this man's ears. Good news reached the poor beggar's ears that day. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. My friends, maybe tonight, maybe this very night, for all we know, could very well be Jesus of Nazareth will pass by this whole world with that shout of victory, will call out of this world every blood-bought child of his. He will sweep the world of every child of God under heaven, will rise to meet him in the air. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Do you know it was his last chance? This blind man was his last chance. The last chance he had to get salvation. The last chance. You know, there was a man in Montreal, some of us know a little bit about him. He was saved about a month ago. He's with Christ tonight. That was his last chance. His last chance came. I met a man in Sackville, 87 years of age, on his bed. No doubt eventually it'll be his deathbed. 87 years of age. He hasn't got very long to go, but thank God he came to Christ. Oh, he received the message. He received that message that God loved him, and he came to Christ. It was a message from God. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, young man, young lady, tonight, in this poor, dark, sin-cursed earth, this hell-going world, as Eric Smith calls it, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by this great auditorium, passing by here tonight, looking at you, young man, young lady. Man and woman in this room without Christ. Jesus of Nazareth passes by, looks at you, looks at your heart. Will you receive this man tonight? Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Well, in the 38th verse, this man apparently had heard about Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. Why? How could he help it? Why, he had ears. His eyes were gone, but he had ears, and he heard about Jesus. Oh, I wonder what he heard. He heard wonderful things, power to heal, power to bless, power to raise the dead, power to heal the blind, power to make the dumb to speak and the lame to walk. Was it possible that Jesus could help him in this hopeless case? Well, he didn't let it go by. Oh, there's people who come into the gospel, boys and girls, who have got godly Christian fathers and mothers who hear the gospel, and they grow up without Christ. Oh, dear boys and girls tonight and young people, I ask you solemnly, I tell you solemnly, that this head knowledge will never save your soul. You must receive the Lord Jesus. I believe there's young people tonight whose hearts are aching. They haven't got this joy. They haven't got this peace. They have a knowledge in their head that's reached only here in their head. They know these verses. They've been taught them at home, at the breakfast table. The Bible's read. They pray. They hear these things. They're brought to the meetings by their parents. But I'm afraid that many of our young people have never had this glorious experience whereby they've received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and confessed Him as their Lord. I wonder if these boys here in this room, these few boys here, young boys here, look into your faces. I wonder if you've ever confessed the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You know, many of us in the days gone by, we're not ashamed to talk about prize fighters and hockey players and baseball players. But when it comes to talking about Jesus, you know, the devil, we sometimes say the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And I believe the devil trembles when he sees a young man or young woman stand up for Christ. I believe the demons of hell shake and tremble when a young man stands up and speaks well of Christ in this world. Oh, tonight, my friend, have you ever confessed Christ as your Savior? Have you ever said to your mother and father, Mother, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's my Lord. He died for me. That's what it means by confessing Christ, to call Jesus your Lord. This man does it. We'll see later on. But you know, he said for mercy, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, that was a cry. That was a cry to the Savior. And you know, the Savior never misses a cry like that. Oh, those words reached those blessed ears. He knew all about this man. Why did he go here by Jericho? Why did Jesus go? You know, I believe that Jesus had an appointment with this man. Jesus had an appointment with this man this particular day. Maybe tonight Jesus has an appointment with you. Some boy or girl in this room, some man or lady, and Jesus has an appointment with you tonight. He wants to meet you tonight. Well, he wanted to meet this man, and he heard this cry, and it tells us in the 40th verse, or the 39th verse, you see, it says, they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, this is what the world does. This 39th verse is a perfect picture of the world. You know, if a young boy, young girl, or an older person goes to some companion and says, you know, I went to a gospel meeting, and I'm really disturbed about this salvation question. I'm afraid that I'm a lost sinner. Oh, they say, now look, don't get like that. You'll go crazy. You'll lose your mind. The asylum is full of men and women who are just like this. They read the Bible, and they lose their reason. You see, the devil will tell you anything, my friends. And so these people, they saw this poor beggar here at the side of the road. You know, the devil will let you do anything if you keep away from Christ. And so these cruel people would rob this man of his eyesight. Keep quiet, they said. Hold your peace. Be still. That's what this poor, careless world says tonight. Poor, careless, Christ-rejecting world says, hold your peace. You know, when you preach the gospel on the street corner, it doesn't take long for them to call up the police and tell them you're disturbing the peace, but they can have all kinds of bands and music and firecrackers waking people up in the night with their horns and their drunken men blowing their horns and waking you up in the middle of the night. Nobody says anything about that. But let a man speak well of Christ, and the world says they're disturbing the peace. They're peace disturbers. The world doesn't want Jesus. Young people, I solemnly say to you tonight, this world doesn't want Jesus Christ the Lord in any terms whatsoever. This world doesn't want Christ. They don't want Him. They don't want Christ. They've rejected Him once and for all. When He comes back into this world, He's going to judge this world. He's going to judge this world. It'll be by judgment. He'll set up His kingdom. But this world doesn't want Christ. You know, if they had an election day in the United States of America about Jesus, you'd be surprised how few votes the Savior would get. This world is of one mind and this one question, away with Jesus. We don't want Him. We don't want Him. And so here in this 40th verse, Jesus stood. Isn't that nice? Jesus stood. I love these words. Jesus stood. What did He stand for? A beggar's cry. A beggar's cry. Yes, when Jesus hears a poor sinner in those seats out there whisper, Lord, have mercy on me. Oh, those words reach the Savior's ear. in the heavens above, those words pierced through those heavens to that blessed ear, "Have mercy upon me, Lord Jesus." And Jesus stood and commanded that he be brought unto him. Notice, isn't that nice? Brought unto him. Here's a person. Brought unto him. Not brought unto Peter. Not brought unto James or John and the other disciples. But brought unto him. Brought unto him. He commanded that he be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" Isn't this precious? Here we find these two together. Oh, I love to find Jesus with the sinner. Here was Jesus. I suppose there was a great crowd of people around, but there was only one interested. This blessed Savior was interested in this one man. He was dealing with this individual. I think sometimes after a meeting, a preacher is talking to a soul, and people get around and listen in. I like to think that Jesus was here. He was dealing with this man alone. There he was, alone with Jesus. And he says to him, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" See, he leaves the whole thing open. He gives this man an open request. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he says, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Wasn't that a wonderful question? That was a short prayer, wasn't it? We haven't got to pray for an hour. Just a little short prayer. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." He called this despised Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth, passeth by. He called him his Lord. Wasn't this wonderful? First time he met him. First time he met Jesus, he addressed him as Lord. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." That I might receive my sight. I think the Savior had power to give him sight. Indeed he had. And it tells us in the next verse, Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." Faith. Where was his faith? In Christ. He had faith. He believed. You know, here's a wonderful thing. As this blind man came into the presence of Jesus, he couldn't see him. But he believed he was there. Now, this is an ideal illustration tonight of everyone in this room that may not be saved. You can't see Jesus. You can't see him. Do you believe he's here? I could go up to this man and say, "Bartimaeus, can you see Jesus standing here?" And he'd say, "I can't see anything. I'm in darkness." "Well, Bartimaeus, Jesus is standing here beside you." You know, Bartimaeus believed it. He believed it. He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Do you believe that tonight, that Jesus is here? Jesus is here tonight to bring blessing to your soul, to bring salvation to your heart, to bring eternal joy into your soul tonight. Jesus is here to bring blessing into your life and salvation and peace and joy. Jesus is here tonight. Well, it tells us in the 43rd verse, "And immediately he received his sight." Now, the first thing he saw when he received his sight was the face of Jesus. Wasn't that nice? He saw Jesus. And you know, though we can't see Jesus with these natural eyes, Hebrews chapter 2 says we see Jesus. With the eye of faith, we see Jesus. The blessed one at the right hand of God, with the eye of faith, we see Jesus. And this man's eyes were opened, and he saw Jesus. And Christ gave him his eyesight. But he did something else. He won this man's heart. Not only did he give him his eyesight, but he won his heart. Not only does Christ give us the forgiveness of sins, blessed though that be, but he wins the heart. Christ wins the heart. And he sends the young man who trembled and feared. He sends him out into the world to speak well of him. And the world laughs and marks, but the joy of the Spirit of God surges into the young man's heart. He has received Christ. His sins are gone. But Jesus has won his heart. And in this room tonight, there's men and women, children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And we can amen this, every one of us. He's won our hearts, beloved. He's cleansed our sins away in his precious blood. Praise God for that. But he's won our hearts. And so here it says, he followed him. He followed Christ. He followed him. What else does it say? He glorified God. How wonderful the poor worms of the dust like us have got the same privilege tonight of following Jesus, and therefore glorifying God in this world where God has been insulted and where our Lord Jesus Christ was spit upon and crowned with thorns. He glorified God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. What a testimony this man was. What a testimony. This man had come into contact with Jesus. I want to ask you people tonight, everyone in this audience, have you come in contact with Jesus? Have you met Jesus? Has he saved your soul? Is he your personal Savior? Is he your Lord? Are you on the way to heaven or on the way to hell tonight? Jesus was glorified in this, and God was glorified in this man. Well, in the next chapter, we have another case. This man was a little different. It tells us in the first verse, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. The last time. Isn't this wonderful? These two men, their last chance. I suppose it was Zacchaeus' first chance and his last chance. And I suppose it was Bartimaeus' first chance and his last chance. But I don't believe there's a man in this room tonight, or a woman, or a boy, or a girl could stand here and say, it's the first time I've heard the gospel. And I suppose there's some unsaved here tonight. I suppose there's some tonight. Oh, it's solemn, you know. It'll be an awful thing. A few boys and girls, young people, went to hell. And in those regions of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, you had to say to yourself, I knew that Jesus Christ could save my soul. I knew it. And I rejected him. What a hell that will be. What a hell that will be, my friend. What an awful thing. You know, we're told today there is no hell. The modernistic preacher has right wiped hell out of the Bible. But oh, we believe in the living God. God hasn't changed this book. He hasn't changed his word to tickle the ears of these modernistic preachers and these infidels all around us tonight in Detroit and throughout the United States and Canada. These infidels, these men who stand up and sneer at the Bible, God hasn't obliged them by changing the book. There is a hell. And the cross of Christ, my friends, tells us when Jesus hung on the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I tell you, my friends, if that blessed Savior, when he bore my sins, my awful sins, on his own body on the cross, and God turned his head away from his beloved Son, I ask you in God's name, what will he do with you who reject Christ? What will God do with you who turn your back on the Son of God and reject the Savior's love? I say, what will God do with you? I tell you not to believe these professors, not to believe these modernistic preachers, not to believe these infidel preachers of this 20th century, of this poor, hell-going world, but believe what the Bible says. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Tonight, my friends, the infidels who've gone into eternity are no longer infidels. They know now there's a God. They know. The atheists who've gone into eternity, they know there's a God. And the Bible says, the demons also believe and tremble. Isn't that a solemn verse? It's in James, I think chapter 2. The demons believe and they tremble. I think it would be good if that text was hanging on the walls more. The demons believe and tremble. Just imagine, the demons. I've often said, preaching the gospel, if this room was filled with demons and we stood here and said to those demons, there's a hell, there's a lake of fire for you. They would sit in those chairs and they would tremble under the mighty power of God. But men and women don't tremble. They laugh and joke. And they go out in the lobby and they tell jokes and go home and laugh. A young man said to me, I used to go to the gospel hall with my head bowed, exercised by God under the power of the gospel. But my friends soon changed my opinion. They said, come on, snap out of it. Never mind that stuff. And he said in 5 minutes, the exercise of the Spirit of God was gone. And that's what this Christ-rejecting world do to you, do, do, to you tonight, young person, and when the end of this meeting comes, they'll start laughing and joking and talking, and you'll forget the message. I pray God He'll keep you awake tonight. I pray you'll have no rest or no sleep, but you'll meet this question tonight solemnly in the presence of God. God loves you. He hates your sins. He hates sin. He judged sin at the cross. But oh, tonight the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What a wonderful verse that is. Cleanseth us from all sin. What? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Isn't that wonderful? Well, Zacchaeus here tells us he was chief among the publicans and he was a rich man. He was a rich man. But you know what it tells us in the third verse? He sought to see Jesus who he was. Now, if we had time, we won't turn to it. If you were to read in the 23rd chapter of the same Gospel of Luke, you'd find there was another man named Herod. He sought to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus for a long time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he mocked him and put him on a purple robe and laughed at him and mocked him and sent him back to Pilate. But here was a man who was in earnest. If the first man was in earnest, the second man was in earnest. He wanted to see Jesus. He forgot he was a rich man. And what did he do? In the fourth verse, he climbed up into a sycamore tree. Just imagine, a rich man. How many rich men in the United States tonight would climb up into a tree? Not many. They'd be too proud to climb up with a tree. But here was a man in earnest about meeting Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. And he didn't care whether the crowd laughed at him or whether the newspapers published on the front page. The great Zacchaeus, the rich man, climbed up into a tree. Zacchaeus didn't care. He wanted to see Jesus. He was in earnest. Oh, we would to God there were somebody in this room tonight who was in earnest. Somebody in earnest tonight. You know, there's one thing I like about these meetings. When I was first brought to the gospel meeting, I liked this. Nobody bothered me. Nobody got me in a corner and kept me in a corner and kept asking me if I was saved until finally I broke down and said yes and told a lie. I like that. And I think it's nice that the Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners, is able to touch that heart of yours, dear boys and girls, and give you the courage to come up after just quietly and say, tonight I receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior. But as to getting people in the corners and making them confess Christ, that is not of God, my friends. Oh, when God speaks to your soul, when God calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light, when the Spirit of God works in your heart, and I know from personal experience that I saw that verse in front of my eyes wherever I looked, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, what a verse that was. What a verse that was. I saw it where I looked. When I turned the corner, I saw it as it were hanging out of the very heavens on a great card, a big cardboard. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, my friend, when God comes after you, He's in earnest. Young lady, are you a Christian tonight? Are you keeping bad company? You say, well, I used to be a Christian. I used to be a Christian. A young girl came to our meeting one night, and I asked her, was she saved? Just in a little quiet conversation, we shook hands. She said, well, I used to be. I used to be. Well, we said, something's wrong someplace. Because if you really knew the Lord Jesus, if you really took Him as your Savior, you're saved. And the Lord will come after you. You get away from Him. I had a nice talk with that girl, but this is the point, my friends. Have you really met the Lord? Do you love Him as your Savior? Does the Bible bore you? Young people, does the Bible bore you? Does the thought of the prayer meeting send a cold shudder through your back? You say, I don't want to go there. I got to go. My mother makes me go. But if I had my own choice, I'd never go near that place. The prayer meeting's so dull and dead to me. And those Bible readings, they just seem to lag on. The hour goes so slowly. And I'm so bored, sick by this Bible business. And yet you say you're a Christian. I ask you, have you met the Lord? Has Jesus come into your life? Have you met the man of Calvary? Have you met that lovely man? Is he your personal Savior tonight? Well, Zacchaeus met him because he was up the tree. And you know, he thought Jesus wouldn't see him. He had a grand view of the Son of God. What a view he had hiding up in the branches of that great sycamore tree. But Jesus knew he was there. He knew he was there. He knew his name, too, and he knows your name. He knows your name. You say, well, I never met him. No, but he knows your name. You know, when he came to this tree, I love to think of this. He looked up into that tree, and he says in this verse 5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Make haste. There's no time to waste. No time to waste. You never find in God's word there's lots of time to get saved. God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. Zacchaeus, hear the Savior's cry. Zacchaeus, how personal that was. A personal Savior meeting a personal sinner. Zacchaeus, he calls him by his name. Make haste and come down, for today isn't that precious? I, the Son of God. Oh, I ask you, American people tonight, what would you say if the President of the United States said to you, come on down, I'm going to abide at your house. Maybe you have a little house with only 5 or 6 rooms. Supposing the President said, I want to abide at your house. Wouldn't you be proud? Wouldn't you be honored? Or the Prime Minister of Canada came into Montreal or Ottawa and said, I want to abide at your house. They wouldn't do it. No, they wouldn't. But here's the Son of God saying, for today I, the Christ of God, the Son of God, today I must abide at thy house. You know, he came down. Down he came. You got to come down, my friend. You got to come down. Down off your high perch of self-righteousness. Down off your law-keeping, off your religion, your church-going, your attendance, your membership, and this and that. You got to come down. Down, down, down to the foot of the cross. Make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. And he came down, and he received him joyfully. I love to think of Zacchaeus sliding down the tree and turning and saying, Jesus, here I am. Here I am. It was so simple. He came down and received him joyfully. And my friends, when you receive Christ, you'll be joyful. All those old long faces will be gone. All those tears and the sorrows of this poor, Christ-rejecting, sad, blighted earth will be gone. And you'll have a new joy in your soul. He received Jesus joyfully. And I like to think of Zacchaeus and Jesus walking down the road together. Oh, what a talk they must have had. What a wonderful conversation must have taken place as Jesus and Zacchaeus walked down the road together. You know, it's nice, I believe, that this man's name was Zacchaeus. In Canada, they say Zed. In the United States, they say Z. It doesn't matter. A to Z or A to Z. Christ is the Savior of sinners. He can save Adam and he can save Zacchaeus. He's an all-the-way Savior, A to Z, all the way through. Christ is able to save. And so Zacchaeus and Jesus go down to the house. And there they are together in the house. But oh, the devil doesn't like this. The devil never likes to see a man get Jesus into his heart or into his house either. And they said, this man has gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Verse 7, gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Oh, how wonderful. Jesus loves the sinner. Oh, dear sinner friend, I'm glad the Bible says Jesus died for sinners. I'm glad the Bible says that Christ died for the ungodly, because that means me. Means me. He's gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Oh, praise God, today he met us in the midst. A lot of sinners saved by the grace of God, and there was Jesus with us. Isn't that nice? He's gone to be the guest with a man that's a sinner. And oh, Zacchaeus stood up and he confessed the whole story in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He confessed the whole thing. I restored him fourfold. And Jesus said in the 9th verse, this day, isn't that wonderful? This day is salvation come to this house. Salvation, Zacchaeus, has come. Who was salvation? Christ. Christ is the only Savior. He's the Savior of sinners. And Christ had come to that house. Oh, we pray tonight that somebody in this room will receive Jesus. Young boys, will you receive Jesus? Will you come tonight to Christ, young girls? You who have got a Christian mother and a Christian father, won't you receive Jesus tonight? This may be the last gospel meeting. You know, I believe that the brother has been asked to speak tomorrow night, and I presume the brother has been asked to speak Monday night, but there's no guarantee they'll be here because the Lord may come. I have enjoyed the company of our beloved brother Jackson down in Tampa. I can't help telling you this. Every meeting as the meeting closes, he always says it's like a record. He always says the same thing. It can't be long, brethren. It can't be long now. He's coming again. He may come tonight. We may be there tonight in the glory. Isn't it wonderful? He may come tonight. My friend, if he does, you will be doomed. No second chance. Don't believe these modernist preachers. There's no second chance. If you leave this world without Christ, you will be buried in your sins. You'll be raised from the dead, out of the dead in your sins. You'll stand before God in your sins, and you'll perish in hell in your sins, my friend. And if the Lord Jesus comes tonight and takes out of this world his blood-bought saints, you will be left behind. And oh, what a prayer meeting will take place. I sometimes think of the homes of the gathered saints especially. How sad for those young people who are left behind, hopelessly doomed, no chance, no Savior. Mother's gone, father's gone, brothers and sisters gone, left behind. I can't think of anything more sad, more solemn. I've tried to live through it. Maybe I mentioned it before. I've tried to live through it and try to imagine it, of going home and finding my family all gone and looking for them and trying to find them and then getting the meeting list and looking down the names and calling up house after house. No answer, no answer, no answer, until at last I call a home where I think it's possible there's an unsaved girl or boy lives there. And they answer the phone and say hello. And I say, is your mother there? No. I don't know where she's gone. Is your father there? No. I haven't seen him for the last hour. I don't know where he's gone. I thought he was in his room reading, but he's gone. And I say, young man, Christ has come. Christ has come, and we're doomed. We're doomed to hell. We're doomed to judgment. My friends, often sitting alone in my home, I've thought of those thoughts and I've trembled. Oh, will you be left behind when Jesus comes? Tonight he loves you. One, just one simple look of faith at him. Do you believe he died for you? You say yes. Did you ever thank him? Did you ever kneel down and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins on the cross? Young ladies, what about you? Have you ever confessed Christ? Won't you do it tonight? Won't you receive the Lord Jesus now as your personal Savior? Just as we bow our heads to pray, you know, you haven't got to do anything. The devil will whisper in your ear, don't do anything. Just be quiet. Be neutral. My friend, just in the presence of Jesus all alone, just say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I believe you died for me on the cross of Calvary, and I receive you tonight as my personal Savior. You'll be saved, my friend, and your mouth will be opened. Your mouth will be opened, and by the grace of God, you'll be able to speak well of the man who loved you and the man who died for you on the cross of Calvary. May God bless his word. We cannot save you. Your mother can't save you. Your father can't save you. This meeting can't save you. But there's one who can. He's there at the right hand of God. His name is Jesus. Jehovah the Savior. Won't you come to him tonight? That lovely man, that holy man, that blessed man, he's waited for you for a long time. He's waiting still. His arms are outstretched, boys and girls, men and women. Will you receive Christ tonight? May you do so for the glory of God.